Amen. 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 Thank you. My name is Timothy Ojo, and this evening we will talk more and about our ministries, and we'll talk more and get to fellowship more. We have a display at the back, and I'm glad my family is here with me, and my wife, Ronke, Miss Mary, Ronke. Okay. And we have Janice, Nicole, Isaiah. God has blessed our family. We are missionaries to Nigeria, and as you can hear, I do not speak Southern English. So I speak African English. And I know the more I speak, the clearer I get. Don't worry, you will get used to it. And we are missionaries, we are church planters, we have 6 churches, we have 8 pastors that we work with, support. Then we have a Christian school and 4 teachers that we support, making 12 people from our support. That's why we are back in the U.S. to raise more support. And we started 2 new churches this past 3 years. That's why it makes 6 churches now. And when we go back with more resources and we are training men, my people are training men, we will start more churches. Because we want to make the gospel of our Lord Jesus known. That's what we are called. We have an orphanage where we take care of orphans and widows and vulnerable children. God has given us tremendous opportunities, tremendous areas of service. So we talk more about that, but you can go by our display and we can get our prayer card. And you can just ask questions. This evening we have more time of fellowship, I believe. Psalm number 11. Psalm 11. Verse 3. I've been praying all through yesterday. This morning, what God will want me to share with you. I was thinking of preaching the message I preached briefly at Camp Canaan. But looking at the direction of our discussion with Brother Lamance yesterday, today, the Sunday school, a lot of thought, I believe God wants me to share with you from this verse of the Word of God, Psalm 11, verse number 3. We will look at other verses in this chapter, but we'll just pray that God will give us the liberty we need to share his word, to share his thought, to give you something that will help you in these days and age, in this trying time for believers in Christ, in this wicked time, in this troubling time. And there's a very, very good question asked in this verse of the Word of God. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? I want to speak on that question. What can the righteous do? What can the righteous do? Let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you today for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, to share your word with your people. Lord, we need your liberty. We need your clarity. We need your grace.
Yes.
Father, please speak your word to our hearts. Challenge us today, lift us up, revive our souls and our spirits, that we will stand for you, we will stand in the gap in this trying time. Father, I just pray that you will speak your word. Fill me with your power, with your words.
Yes.
I just need you, O Lord. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for grace of God upon me. Thank you for the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, for the good news, for giving us grace to be your servant. Just bless your word today and bless us mightily through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We are living in an age. We are living in an age, an era where things are not what they are supposed to be.
Right.
I say things are upside down now. Good is bad. Bad is good.
Right. Yeah.
It's like that house close to you here in Pigeon Forge, upside down house.
That's a good illustration.
But we see here David was believed to have written this psalm at a time when Saul was pursuing him in order to kill him. And this statement was considered in this verse to be made by David's friends, people around him. We see that in the years before David took the throne of Israel, David had to live a life of fugitive. He was constantly hunted by King Saul. And he lived in constant danger. He lived fearing for his life in caves, in wilderness, difficult time. And it was in such a time that his friends, I believe people moving with him, asked him and told him in verse number 1, they said to him, "Flee as a bird to your mountain." In other words, run. In other words, quit. They are asking him, "Why are you still standing? Why are you still maintaining your integrity?" David's friend was telling him to run away. These words in the mouth of David's friends are meant to be a warning. The idea is this: the foundation of Saul's government is destroyed. Saul is being wicked. He's not following the right thing. He's no longer doing the will of God. In fact, he's now pursuing you, a man after God's own heart. And they are saying to him, since Saul is no longer on the side of the Lord, that the foundation of the society, as it were, then is broken. Don't do anything. Just quit. Just surrender. Just join them. Like the saints goes, if you can't win them, join them. I say to you this morning, that just like in the days of Saul, foundation of our society is already broken. It's already destroyed. And it's being destroyed every day. And when we talk of foundation is the basis or groundwork for anything. It is the natural or prepared groundwork or ground or base on which structures rest or stand. And these words in verse 3 are regarded, like I said, as words of David's advisors or an argument why he should make an escape. Why he should run, flee to your mountain, quit. Why the trouble? Why are you still standing? The great principle of truth and righteousness that upholds society as the foundation on which an edifice rests upon the building. The reference is to a destruction of those things in a community. When truth is no longer respected, when justice is no longer practiced, when fraud and violence have taken the place of honesty and honor, when errors prevail, when a character for integrity and virtue affords no longer any security. This is supposed to be the case in the circumstances referred to in this psalm. And it's the case in our society today. Gill said, "All things are out of orders if the foundations be destroyed." It means all things are out of orders, out of course, both in the church and in the state. The laws, which are the foundations of government, are despised and disregarded. Judgment is perverted. And justice stands afar off. That's what was happening. And David's friends, Brother Lamas, said, "Why the trouble? Quit. Just join them. Just let go." And yes, we are living in an age that is similar, or should I say, much worse than the days of King Saul. The foundation of our society has simply collapsed.
Yes, amen.
There are three foundations of three institutions that God created for the good of our society, which have been destroyed, which are being destroyed today. Number one, I think of the foundation of home. Foundation of home.
Yeah.
Marriage, family.
Yeah.
Has been destroyed.
Yeah.
It's been destroyed.
Yeah.
Marriage is no longer honorable.
Yeah.
And chastity has been lost. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality, divorcement, abortions are the norms of today.
Yeah, that's right.
No discipline in the home. No time for one another. No time for the children. Home in our society today has been destroyed.
Right.
We have in this country, this great country called America, that we have somebody that is now sitting in the Supreme Court of United States of America who refused to define a woman.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Come on.
Yes. And the other time I was filling a form. You know how it goes in America. Everything is about paperwork. And I was filling a form for something. Probably phone or whatever. We just got in this time. And for the first time, they put in the gender, they put male, female. I think they put man, they didn't put man. Male, female. Non-binary.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
What is that?
What in the world is that?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. How will you not know who you are? Sad.
Yeah, sir, you're right.
And our children are being brainwashed with this.
Amen.
Oh, the foundation of home. And I tell you, it's already with us among believers. They creep into our phones and our televisions.
Amen.
And they are putting it in our face.
Yes.
Pushing it on us.
Amen.
Marriage is no longer honorable.
Yes.
Neither is bed undefined. The devil is working over time. No. The devil is working all the time.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. That's right.
You're right.
Destroying the foundation of home. You can hardly see any good home based on biblical principles again. The foundation of home is being destroyed. Yes. Not only that, the foundation of human government has been destroyed.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Yes.
God created government for the human race to bring orderliness and truthfulness. But what do we have in government today? The government that is protecting criminals.
Yes, yes. Right. Yes.
And punishing law-abiding citizens.
Yes.
Government that is promoting lawlessness. Lawlessness. I'm not being political today. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. If the foundation be destroyed, if the foundations be destroyed, but I tell you, foundations have been destroyed. Foundations of home, foundation of human government.
Right.
Amen.
In Romans chapter 13, verse 1, it says, let every soul be just yet unto higher power. For there's no power but of God, but the power that be are ordained of God. That's what the government is supposed to be. But we have government today that is taking over the power of God. Telling you to deny God. Telling you to blaspheme the name of God.
Yes, sir.
And our society, I fear for our society. Now we live in fear in our society because there is no orderliness. You can just be in gas station and somebody can just shoot you or knight you.
Amen.
No respect for law. No respect for lawmen.
That's right. Right.
No more. State of anarchy.
Yes.
I'm not painting what is not there. You all agree with me today that these fundamental things that help our lives, that help our society, have been destroyed. Our home. The government, human government. Let me give you one more. The foundation of the house of God. And let me say this of all. The church of Jesus Christ, the true church of Christ, we stand. Jesus said, the gate of hell shall not prevail. But I'm talking about our gathering as local churches. Many of our local fundamental churches are going under. Many, just like David Frank told them, Brother Lamans, they are joining the crowd. They are fleeing, they are running to their mountains. What can the righteous do? We have in our Christian body today, we have in our local churches today, where Christianity is being ridiculed and the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ is being blasphemed. We have so-called churches today that are homosexuals as bishop or pastor. Come on.
You're right. Amen.
Amen.
What can we do?
What can we do? Today, we have in our so-called churches pastors who are not called.
That's right.
And those who have disqualified their calling.
That's right. Yes.
We have practices in our churches today that are simply idolatrous and totally demonic.
That's right. You're right, brother.
Sin is no longer being preached against. We have pulpits here today, not only in America, all over the world, that pastors cannot preach against homosexual, divorce, fornication, adultery, anything. No. Because they do not want to step on toes.
Come on.
What can the righteous do? What a shame. That the foundation of our society is destroyed. What can the righteous do? Please know that the righteous here is someone that is born again.
Yes.
One that has been redeemed by the blood, the precious blood of the Lamb of God. I am righteous today by the imputation of the righteousness of Jesus Christ on me. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So as a child of God today, that has been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, that has been imputed on the righteousness of the Son of God, what can I do in these days of anarchy? What should you do? So when we look back to our text, David's friends advised him to run, to flee, to quit. But David said no. What did David say? What did he say we do, even though the foundation is being destroyed? Number one, David said he's going to keep on trusting the Lord. Look at verse number one. He said, in the Lord put I my trust. How can you say, how say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? David said, listen, I am trusting the Lord.
Yes, amen.
That's what I will do as a righteous. When all these things are collapsing, are falling apart around me, I will keep on trusting the Lord.
Yes,
I will keep on standing for the Lord.
Yes.
I will keep on depending on the Lord.
Yes, amen.
David is saying, I trust in the Lord. How can you say that I should run and quit? If you know this God, you will trust him too.
Yes.
And you will not quit too.
Yes.
You will not compromise too.
Enough.
You will not shift ground too. You will keep standing for him too.
Right.
David said, I am trusting the Lord's power.
Right.
I keep trusting in his power. Verse 4, look at verse number 4. First part said, the Lord is in his holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven.
Yeah.
What is that saying? The Lord is in all his holy temple. The Lord is in heaven. He's saying that the Lord is almighty. He's all powerful. He is the Lord. He is God of gods. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of kings. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God. David said, I trust him. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He's God.
Yes.
We have God, the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth.
That's him.
The one who is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore.
Amen.
The one who is holy and highly exalted. The Lord is his name. David said, I'm not going to quit. That's what I'm going to do. What can the righteous do? What can a born again child of God do? He said, I will keep on trusting the Lord. I will keep on trusting his power. I will keep on reminding myself, remembering that the Lord is God. And there's none above him. There's none like him. That is none that can be compared to him. No one can be compared to my God. No matter how bad things may be, the Lord is still God. And he's still on the throne.
Yes.
He's still highly exalted.
Yes.
Do you think he has lost control? No.
No,
no. No. He's already told us the end from the beginning.
Yeah.
That we may lose some battles, so to speak. But we have won.
Amen.
Victory has been won. Eventually, we are going home to be with him. Brother Lamansi says yesterday, all this will be destroyed by fire.
Every bit of it.
Everyone. But we will stand tall in his presence. Not because of whom we are, of what we have done, but because of the glory and the righteousness of the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. We will be. So let's keep on holding to him, standing. Keep trusting his power. Keep trusting his providence. David said in verse 4b and 5, he said, his eyes behold. His eyes behold, his eyelids try the children of men. The Lord tried the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence is so hated. The word try the righteous is like it's working in our lives, and we may not understand every bit of it, but we can trust his providence.
Yes.
How he makes all things work together for good.
Right?
See, things may be bad around us, but God is working.
Amen.
And he brings out everything together for our good.
Amen.
Remember what Jacob said when they brought the report that the man is asking for Benjamin. And I believe it was Simeon, right? That was detained. And he said, Joseph is not. Simeon is not. And Benjamin you will take from me. Against me are all this. But little did he know that Joseph was the one asking for Benjamin. The least person to do any evil to Benjamin. The son that he thought he had lost and gone and died, he's going to see him again. You know, we don't see, just like Joseph, I mean like Jacob, we don't see, but God did. God does. And he's working to take us from here to there for his glory. And for our good. You can trust that. You can take that to the bank.
Yes, sir.
You can. Keep trusting His power. Keep trusting His providence. Let me give you one more. Keep trusting His promises. Keep trusting His promises. The psalmist said, there, keep trusting His promises. Amen. Verse 7, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. This speaks of the Lord's promises. He has promised to take care of His own. The word there is countenance doth behold the upright. In other words, He's interested evermore looking on you. Evermore.
Evermore looking.
There's no 1 second that His eyes is off you.
Apple of His eye.
No, no one. That's His promise. That's His promise.
That's good.
And I love it. Like the psalmist said in Psalm 34 verse 10. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 37 verse 23 and 25. The step of a good one, man are ordered by the Lord and he delighted in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaking, nor his seed begging for bread.
Amen.
God said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave you.
That's right.
Nor forsake you.
Thank you, Lord.
Right.
I will always be with you.
Yes, He will.
Though things are bad, though foundations of our society is being destroyed, you can still trust on the Lord's promises that He will never leave you. He will not forsake you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He will take care of you. He will uphold you. He will strengthen you. He will give you His grace in times of trouble and need. Keep trusting God. Keep trusting His power, His providence, and His promises. But lastly, secondly, keep testifying for the Lord.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
Keep testifying.
Yes. There's a picture in verse 6 that is very, very, very scary, so to speak. Fearful. Look at verse 6, Psalm 11, verse 6. Said, upon the wicked it shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone. An horrible tempest. This shall be the portion of their cup.
Whoa.
All unbelievers, unsaved people, are going to hell. A place of fire. A place of torment. A place of suffering. And we have friends. We have families that have been caught in these problems of our society.
Yeah.
And they are not saved today. And they are going to hell, eternally separated from God. And you are born again today as a righteous person in the Lord Jesus Christ. What can you do? Tell them about the Lord. Tell them about these verses. Tell them of that place of horror. But tell them that they can come out of it to the place of honor, to the place of glory, to the place of God, if they come to receive Jesus as their Savior. Keep testifying. Tell them about the Lord. This first speak of judgment. And there are other verses that speak of the same judgment of God in hellfire that unbelievers, unsaved people will be eternally separated from God. Revelation chapter 20 verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
Lord.
Revelation 21 verse 8. But the faithful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and warmongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Judgment is coming.
Yes, it is, brother.
And we should say like Paul, when he says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Can you say that? When last did you tell somebody about Jesus? When last did you testify to them? Just share your testimony. Just share how God saved your soul like you did when you were singing, Brother Phil. Let's go back to testifying. Let's go back to witnessing. Let's go back to sharing the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep. Amen.
Let's make it our business everywhere we go, every time, everywhere. Tell somebody about Jesus Christ. Give them gospel tract.
Yep. Yep.
Let's make Jesus known.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
We were telling Brother Amas yesterday, please, I hope I have liberty. I'm going to round up. But listen, we were talking yesterday that in Africa, before we ever come to America, we thought everyone in America is righteous, like Christian. Christian nation. And those missionaries who came in the 80s and 90s, it's all about witnessing. It's all about testifying. It's all about telling somebody about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we came to America and we found out that Christians are no longer talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer telling people
right.
about Jesus.
Foundation.
We are hiding. We are hiding.
Yeah.
We want no trouble. And we are beginning to do like David's friend told him to do. Running to our mountain, to our safe place.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to fornicate, I'm not going to do all those bad things, but I'm not going to trouble no one.
Amen.
And we wonder why things are getting worse.
Yeah.
When we are failing to tell them about the judgment of God,
right.
How about the coming judgment of God?
Yeah.
Amen.
But that there is hope in Christ Jesus. That's what we should do. What can the righteous do? Personally, keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting His power, His providence, His promises. But number two, keep testifying.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
It's our time. The coming of our Lord is very close.
Yeah.
Will they find us watching? Will they find us testifying? I close. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can we Christians do? What should we be doing? We should keep on trusting the Lord. And we should be testifying for the Lord. Please come, Brother Amos.
Amen.